Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Rob, we don't have to spend too much time on this. I want to get to the Chiefs. I promise you I want to get to the Chiefs. Do you like this weather more than you like the weather on June 28th?
See, you're cherry picking because it's raining and it's gloomy and it's dreary.
I'm just asking. This is part of the fall. This isn't part of the fall?
I prefer the fall.
I know. I hate that we act every fall day is just 75 degrees, crisp, perfect football weather. This is part of fall, too.
Yes, I prefer this to 197 degrees
okay,
out.
I just was wondering. I just was curious. It was like this when you were watching K-State on Saturday? Was the weather like this?
It was raining much harder.
Okay, yeah, because it was raining touchdowns. That's what it was raining.
I missed a lot of them walking back and forth to get more beer. This is a miserable day.
Did you hear what that K-State player said? That K-State player that you guys said you guys were planning on running on the field. The only running you were doing were to your cars because it was raining.
I did not hear that. That's actually very funny.
That's what he said.
It's very funny.
That's the dude you kept trying to create bulletin board material for. That kid said it. We need to get him on the show this week. Can you put in the request that I want him on the show this week?
I was told it's Bills week and no college football
okay.
talk.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. That kid,
don't worry, though. Next week. I have a request in for Jeff Goodman because Darren Peterson's playing twice.
Got you. I saw he played really well against Louisville. I did see that. We don't got time to talk about it this week because it's Bills
Look
week.
Look at you bringing it up at 5:03.
Yeah,
Bills
we don't have
week.
Time to that talk about it. I didn't watch it. I heard that he played well against Louisville. We'll see what he looks like when the games really start to count. Again, we're very happy that you guys are here with us on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I think this is the best place to start, I believe. The Chiefs. Less than a month ago, were 2-3. The Chiefs offense really hadn't been super explosive up to that point, but I thought was showing signs that it was starting to turn things around. Less than a month ago, I mean, almost exactly 3 weeks ago, I mean, the game against the Jaguars was on the 6th of October, so about 3 weeks ago, the Chiefs had kind of a theme of just big mistakes that end up doing them in. That's how they lost to the Chargers. That's how they lost to Philadelphia. That's how they lost to Jacksonville with the pick six. That was kind of a theme. And heading into the game against Detroit, which was on October 12th, so 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, the Chiefs found themselves in a must-win game. 2-3 going up against another contending team from the NFC, a team that had beaten you in your building 3 years ago, a team with a very talented quarterback, a team that could run the football, that could put up points, and it felt like a true, genuine coin flip kind of game. Something changed with Kansas City, and their defense started playing with a lot more intensity. They answered the call after the Jacksonville disappointment. I would say more specifically, Chris Jones. Chris Jones took a lot of arrows that week, a lot of frustration, about the way that he played. And since that moment, this team as a whole, both on offense and defense, have completely turned the corner. In their three home games, the Chiefs against the Lions, Raiders, and Commanders, they outscored their opponent 89-24. I would say that they really haven't been challenged in probably the last 10 quarters of football. I thought they had great control of that game against the Detroit Lions and pretty clearly were the better team on the field that day. They were never in danger against Las Vegas. In the first half against the Commanders, I think we all were thinking the exact same thing. Well, whenever Kansas City wakes up, this is the game that they should win. There was never a point that I thought the Commanders realistically had a chance in that game. So, Rob, let's start with the offense. In the last 3 weeks, 30 points, 31 points, 28 points. You could argue, especially in their last two games, the Chiefs kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit late in that game for understandable reasons. The Chiefs basically didn't try on offense in the second half against the Raiders because why would you try in the second half of that game? And they took their foot off the gas against the Commanders. They got up 21-7. It was very obvious that Washington couldn't really fight back in that scenario, and the Chiefs really coasted to the end. So we are talking about an offense leading up to that point that we still had some questions about. That we come out on the other side, how many teams in the NFL do you think have a better offense than Kansas City? Because I would say right now, the only team that you could kind of argue would be the Colts. And I don't think anybody is arguing that a team that has Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones, that you would take their offense over Kansas City's. Now, Jonathan Taylor's been great. Alec Pierce has been great. Michael Pittman. There's a lot of things to like about that Colts offense. I'm excited to see them play Kansas City in the next Chiefs home game. But the Chiefs right now, they feel like they have the best and most complete offense in the National Football League. That's not how we felt when this homestand started. The Chiefs had their backs up against the wall, and they responded perfectly against one of the powerhouse teams in the league, a Tier A team, a team that you think can win the Super Bowl, and then they beat up on one of the five worst teams in the league in the Raiders, and a team that feels like they are just stuck in the middle right now in the Washington Commanders. So that's the offensive side of things. They have really found their rhythm. That's why it's unfortunate what happened with Isaiah Pacheco, because I thought the run game was as best as we've seen it so far this season. I have been a big critic when it comes to the run game. I don't think their run game is really great by any means, but I thought they had started to figure it out and find a rhythm and figured out what the three running backs can do. They figured out a role for Breshad Smith. That started during this homestand. They know exactly what Kareem Hunt is, who is one of the best, if not the best, short yardage runner right now in the National Football League. And Pacheco was doing his thing. Pacheco's averaging 4.3 yards per carry. Pacheco's been fine. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been super explosive. He has been consistent when they have decided to give him the football, and he looks worlds better than he did the first 2-3 weeks of the season. So offensively, especially with now you got Rashee Rice back, you got Xavier Worthy, Juju, everybody kind of doing a little bit. Travis Kelce is playing at a Pro Bowl, all-pro kind of level right now. Everybody on offense has really figured out their role. Now on the defensive side of things, they allowed Jacksonville to score 24 points offensively the last time they were on Monday Night Football. They allowed 24 points over their last three games. They had a shutout in one of those games. Washington basically did nothing offensively for the final 35 minutes of the game. They did nothing on offense against Kansas City. If you want to talk about the run game and their defensive line, very impressed with their run game. They are averaging, they're giving up 3.3 yards per carry over the last three games. Washington basically couldn't run the football. They carried it 20 times for 60 yards. The Raiders ran it 11 times for 25 yards. The Lions, who we think maybe has the best rushing attack in the National Football League, certainly the Lions have the best 1-2 potentially in the league. They ran it 23 times for 98 yards. Gibbs didn't hurt you. Montgomery didn't hurt you. No one on that offense hurt you. So I think the conversation is about them as a whole. It's about what they've done offensively and right now having the best quarterback in the league and what looks like the best offense right now in the National Football League. It's also about their defense that I thought responded very well after the criticism against the Jacksonville Jaguars and have really, really turned up the pressure. They did that against the Detroit Lions. They did that in a shutout against the Las Vegas Raiders. They also did that in dominating the Washington Commanders. So the Chiefs, they had a really, really important stretch. And I told you guys yesterday, the two things I was worried about, the Chiefs keeping their own momentum and how they were playing, and also keeping pace with the other teams in the AFC. The Chiefs 100% did that in their last three games at home.
I feel like we don't look at homestands the way in football we do baseball, because usually you don't have a three-game homestand. But it felt like one of those like get-right moments. We talk about with the Royals in the summer. I'll be speaking of June 28th. It'll be June 28th, and the Royals will be like, oh, they had a rough stretch, but now they get the White Sox at home. Oh, now they get to play the hapless A's at home. And there's a little bit of a get-right type of feel. The Lions are a really good team, but there was a thought that they are coming home. They have the Raiders, who stink. They have the Commanders, who don't have their quarterback. If they can beat the Lions, they have a chance to use this three-week stretch at home, back in front of the friendly confines of their fans, to get right. And not only get right, but to flex the NFL, we're back. We'll do the segment tomorrow, but let me tell you a little peek behind the covers of our national media talking conversation tomorrow. Everyone is saying the Chiefs are back. They use this homestand to get right and then reassert themselves as the dominant force in the NFL. They did that by walloping the Raiders and really just absolutely outclassing the Commanders, basically from the start of the second half to the end of the game. It was competitive for 30 minutes, but then the Chiefs just woke up and said, we're no longer in the mood for a competitive football game.
Yeah, I think what's encouraging is they left no doubt. Now, I'm sure we've had this conversation over the last couple of years. You know, the Chiefs would walk in one of these games against the Commanders. They would kind of go through the motions a little bit, play a C-minus game, and they would win. And I think we would point out, man, the Chiefs didn't really play that well. And the pushback would be, what does it matter? They won. This isn't the BCS. We don't care about style points. I mean, I think you're seeing right now, man, the style points matter. How they win, how they play, how they look, it matters. And what I think you saw is the Chiefs in the last 2 weeks against two teams who shouldn't have a lot of hope. Vegas has no hope. That is a bad football team against the Commanders team that is going to miss the playoffs. I mean, these next couple of weeks for the Commanders, they got Seattle and they got Detroit at home. This Commanders team, they're winning 6, maybe 7 games this year. That is not a good team. The Chiefs are a good team. The Chiefs are arguably the best team in the National Football League. That's what they looked like against those opponents. They gave the Raiders no hope, no optimism, no anything. And you basically did that in the second half against the Washington Commanders. So the style points do matter. How you look, how you perform. You gotta feel great heading into this matchup against the Buffalo Bills. They're better than Buffalo. I don't care what the records say. I don't care who the home team is. Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs, offensively, defensively, I don't know about special teams, but offensively and defensively, the Chiefs are a better team than the Buffalo Bills and should absolutely go in there expecting to win the game. That's a very, very encouraging feeling to have going on the road against one of the 5 best teams in the National Football League. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Karen, as always, the hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era. Well, Carrington, the top news for the day in Kansas City involving the Kansas City Chiefs does not involve their throttling of the Washington Commanders last night, but their running back, Isaiah Pacheco, came up lame at the end of the game, and per Tom Pelissero, he is now considered week-to-week with an MCL sprain. Carrington, how do you want to see the Chiefs handle running back going forward, considering Isaiah Pacheco could be out for a while?
I mean, you know that I've always been on the side of them making a trade, but I got to be realistic. I don't think that's going to happen. Someone texted in, Pacheco being hurt screams for a Breece Hall trade. There was never going to be a world in which Isaiah Pacheco was going to keep me from getting Breece Hall. So I wouldn't use that just as a motivating factor now to go make a significant trade for a running back. If you wanted to make that trade last week, Isaiah Pacheco should not have affected that by in the least bit. I don't think the Chiefs are going to make a big trade. I think the Chiefs are going to roll with what they have at running back. I don't think, at least for them, I don't think that's a short plan. Now, I would have a different opinion if I didn't think that Pacheco was coming back. If we thought Isaiah Pacheco was going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, then I have a different energy about it. But this doesn't sound like a 6 to 8 week energy. Rob, if you could turn the music down, I want to play for you guys what Dr. Jesse Morris had to say about this. You can hear what a doctor says and not just what I think about it. This doesn't sound like a significantly long injury. You got a game this week against Buffalo. I think it's unrealistic to think that he is going to play. The Chiefs have a bye week next week. So we're talking about 3 weeks in between games for Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know if Pacheco misses more than 2 games with this injury. I just don't think they're making a trade when they think they're going to have their running back room together before Thanksgiving. Here is Dr. Jesse Morse.
Medial collateral ligament is responsible for protecting the medial or inside part of the knee. It also attaches to the meniscus right here. It also helps to protect the ACL. So oftentimes when guys get tackled on the outside of the knee, this is the thing that gets beat up because of where it's located. Now, this is traditionally if he got super lucky, he can play next week against the Bills. Huge game in Buffalo. If he didn't get lucky, he could miss 1 to potentially 2 games if this is a grade 1 or mild sprain. If this is a grade 2, a partial tear, usually these guys aren't bouncing up like he did, and usually they would have had a lot more instability and a lot more pain that would have held them out for 4, sometimes up to 6 weeks. So this is likely either a grade 1 or a mild grade 1, basically a tweak, and he got lucky. We'll have to see over the next couple of days where they're at with him. Maybe they get an MRI if there's any meniscus involvement or whatnot, but it sounds like his ACL was spared. His MCL could be a little bit in question, but we probably won't know until today or tomorrow exactly the specifics, but I'll give you more. Kareem Hunt got 2 different touchdowns. Besides that, you know, Rashad Smith did a little bit of running, but no receptions last night. So we'll have to see how it looks heading into a huge game in week 9.
So that is Dr. Jesse Morris. He's been on the show before. I just wanted to play for you what he had to say. I don't think we needed to have him on today as a guest. So if he is saying that he believes it's a grade 1, I think if you were going off his timeline, not mine, I'm not a doctor, I think Isaiah Pacheco plays in the game against the Indianapolis Colts. That's 3 games from now. They play Buffalo. They have a bye week. They play Denver on the road. Their next home game is against the Indianapolis Colts. I think Isaiah Pacheco plays in that game. If that's the case, I just don't see them doing anything drastic. I think we know enough about the Chiefs to say that they go with what they know. The Chiefs don't really go outside the family very often. They're a family business, it feels. They hire who they know. Who do they know right now at running back? They don't know Breece Hall. They don't know, what's the kid Jalen Wright that plays for the Miami Dolphins? They don't know him. You know who they know? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's in the building every day. That's who they know. You know who they know? Carson Steele. He's in the building every single day. Elijah Mitchell. They liked him in the offseason. They had plenty of opportunities to cut Elijah Mitchell. He's still around the practice facility, still around the team. That's going to be their option moving forward. I don't think they're trading for anybody. I don't think they're doing anything drastic. Maybe they bring in a free agent running back to work out with them this week. Maybe they end up doing that. But I just don't think that this is not a significant enough injury where I think it really significantly alters their plans for anything. I think they call up one of the 3 running backs that they like. I think they figure out a way to break up somewhere between the 9 to 12 carries a game that they got from Isaiah Pacheco. You give Kareem a little bit of a workload. You give Rashard Smith a little bit of a workload. You give one of the other running backs that I've mentioned a little bit. And I think you move forward like that. I don't expect the Chiefs to do anything drastic because of this.
Number 2.
Speaking of old friends and staying within the family and basically everything you just said, we've been talking now for a couple weeks, counting the Chiefs need potentially some D-line or D-tackle help. Well, what do you know? Good news. Earlier today, per the NFL Transaction Report, former Chiefs defensive tackle Mike Pinnell was cut by the Cincinnati Bengals. When do you think he will be a Kansas City Chief? Because we both think it's a foregone conclusion. Pinnell is back in KC.
Bob, you just hear what I said about going with what you know? Do they know Mike Pinnell? Of course they know Mike Pinnell. And right now you're telling me that there's an opening, that the Chiefs need a big body, and they're considering going out and picking up a big body. Well, this just makes all the sense in the world. You go pick up Mike Pinnell. A guy who's been on the team for the last couple of years. A guy who clearly fits in the locker room. A guy who was well-liked, well-received in that locker room. This is just, I mean, this is the most obvious thing I've ever seen the Chiefs do. This is like when Juju got cut from the Patriots. There's only one team Juju was signing with. Remember when Mecole Hardman was just unhappy with the Jets? Remember when Derek Nnadi went to go play for the Jets and the Chiefs went to go save him a couple of months ago? I mean, come on now. We all know what this is. Mike Pinnell, come home, man. Come home.
I mean, it's so obviously going to happen. I did see,
it's honestly the most obvious move I've ever seen. I'd be stunned if Mike Pinnell is not on the team in some capacity. Legitimately stunned if he is not on the team.
I will say this.
Whether it's practice squad, 53-man roster, for him just to not be around, and right now you could pick him up for basically no money. So if you go off what his salary was, and obviously he got cut, so it doesn't matter. I mean, he signed a one-year, $1.2 million deal. We're halfway done with the season, so he was owed about, what, $600,000, $700,000 the rest of the way? You can get Mike Pinnell right now for $600,000? What are we doing here? Go get him. Go pick him up. Bring him back to the team.
It is the most obvious, there is no more obvious move I can possibly think of than Mike Pinnell back to Kansas City. They love Mike Pinnell. We can play the audio. Chris Jones spoke with the media 2 weeks ago when he was very much on the Cincinnati Bengals, talking about how much he loves Mike Pinnell when he got Mike Pinnell back. Well, now Mike Pinnell's a free agent. And not that Brett Veach listens to Chris Jones for free agent tips, but hey, you need a D tackle. It's a position of need. You had to elevate a guy from the practice squad yesterday to play the position. Chris Jones likes him. The D coordinator likes him. You like him. It feels like it's a matter of when, not if. And we'll talk about this over the course of the week. Mitch Holtis told us earlier in the show, catch the podcast page, the Chiefs are about to play a string of great offensive lines. You know what would help? A giant defensive tackle who can gobble up blocks and help stop the run. Just from an on and off the field, all the perspectives. Mike Pinnell is about to be a Chief. It's just a matter of when do we get the... Is Pinnell big enough for Ian Rappaport, or do you think it's like a second-tier reporter that's going to announce it? But someone's going to announce that he's a Kansas City Chief.
I mean, this has Matt Derrick written all over it. Shout out to Matt Derrick. Does phenomenal work. This has a Matt Derrick scoop written all over it. This has a Nate Taylor ESPN tweet tomorrow at 3:44 written all over it. I think Ian Rappaport's finding out about Mike Pinnell. No. Matt Derrick, get on that. You know what, Matt Derrick? We have assigned you this responsibility. Find out what's going on with Mike Pinnell, and then we can talk about it tomorrow on the show. This is your job. We put you on the assignment. You got one job for us, big fella. We need you to bring it home for us. That's what we need. Yeah, so of course. That's what needs to happen. All right. I think Shohei Ohtani has to make the hits, right? When you hit two home runs in a World Series game and you get walked five times, Shohei Ohtani needs to be the third hit, Rob. He deserves the music.
Number three.
We can play the music honor Shohei Ohtani, who was on base, wait for it, 9 times last night in the 18-inning marathon between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays in Game 3 of the World Series. Carrington, I think you summed it up on social media perfectly. He's the best player we've seen since Tiger in 98-99. Like, what he is doing to professional baseball looks like an adult playing in a children's softball league. It is incredible the level of dominance Shohei Ohtani has over Major League Baseball, who will start, by the way, as the pitcher tonight in Game 4.
I feel in this... You can turn the music down. I feel in our sports climate, sometimes we don't just stop enough to say, hey, this thing that we're watching is cool. I don't think we do that nearly enough. We have conversations about legacy, or we instantly point to, well, this guy hasn't won a championship. Like, sometimes I think we as just sports fans and people that just, I enjoy watching competition at the absolute highest level. Sometimes I think we can just sit back and say, what this person physically and athletically is capable of doing is amazing and cool. And I feel like Shohei is the one athlete that we can kind of sit back and do this with. We discuss what this means in a big picture for everybody else. Lamar runs for 300 yards in a game. What does this mean? Like, well, no, it's just incredible. For you to hit two home runs in a World Series game the way that he did yesterday, and today you are going to start as the starting pitcher in the game, is amazing. in this postseason for you to hit three home runs in a game and then turn around and have 10 strikeouts in the exact same game is amazing. And as a sports fan, I feel very blessed. In our lifetime, in the last 30 years, we have got a chance to see Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Shohei, Barry Bonds. We just got a chance to see really, really cool things. So as somebody who's not the biggest baseball fan in the world, but I watched the World Series yesterday. I watched a large portion of the World Series. I basically started watching the World Series after the Travis Kelce touchdown. The Chiefs game was over at that point. The Chiefs got the TV with no sound. I moved the World Series to the main screen, and Shohei's coming up. Oh, okay. Home run. Amazing. And then the drama, every time he came back up there, is he going to do something else that's cool? So I was thrilled. I'm excited to watch the World Series today. I'm excited to see Shohei get a start. Also excited to see if he can top his performance from the National League Championship Series, where he had maybe the greatest baseball game of any person that we have ever seen. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the ESPN broadcast from last night. Have you guys noticed on the ESPN analytics, it never tells a team to kick a field goal or punt? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Have you guys noticed on ESPN, they always have the ESPN analytics thing pop up? At one point yesterday, I can't remember exactly when it was in the game, it said 4th and 8. Our numbers tell you that you should go for it. And I was like, wait, you teams should be going for it, and it's 4th and 6. They should be going for it on 4th down. I don't know if that's what I would advocate. But that was one thing that popped up yesterday. The ESPN analytics, it never tells teams to take field goals. It never tells teams to punt. It never tells you that maybe going forward is a bad idea. Another thing that happened yesterday, and I don't think ESPN handled this correctly. So this was with Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice, I believe he was trying to get the ball back to the official, and the Washington Commanders player just happened to be in the middle of it. So it looked like he threw the ball at the guy's head. I don't really know if it makes any sense for him to stand up, and then it never made any sense. But I understand why the defensive player responded the way that he did. It looked like he tried to hit me in the head with the ball. He turned around. He had something to say. I think Rashee's energy was, bro, I wasn't trying to do that. He then went over to the sideline. It looks like he was telling Coach Andy Reid the exact same thing. I thought it was a no harm, no foul, just a miscommunication. These things happen sometime. Boy, ESPN, they had this ready to go in the middle of all of that.
Rashee Rice was injured last year in week 4, and that cost him the rest of the season with a knee injury. Then in July was sentenced to 30 days in jail, 5 years probation. For his role in a multi-car crash in Dallas, he pleaded guilty in district court to 2 third-degree felony charges. The league suspended him for the first 6 games of the season. He was able to practice with the team all of camp. He was back in the building after 3 weeks of the suspension, but couldn't practice. He was in meetings and then got to ramp up prior to last week.
Hey, man. This went on so long, he couldn't even get back to the play. He's telling you this story as the game is going on. Now, I'm not saying that never in the broadcast should they bring these things up. Of course. But it felt like they were waiting for the possibility of Rice to do something negative, and then they wanted to throw this in the middle of it. That just felt a little dirty pool to me. And I understand that was part of his story. I mean, if Travis Kelce caught a touchdown, them showing him arguing with Andy Reid on the sideline would be inappropriate, in my opinion. What does that have to do with what just happened? That's part of his story. It felt a little dirty pool to me to throw that in the middle with Rashee Rice. I just didn't really understand it. It just didn't feel like the time or place or circumstance to do that. I was not a fan of how ESPN handled that with Rashee Rice yesterday.
I actually agree with you, and it's only because it was a negative play for Rice. Like, if Rice had caught the ball and, like, gained 8 yards, regular 8-yard catch, and they flashed all that up, I would agree with the text line. That's part of his story. That's why he missed 6 games. Now he's back with the offense. Like, that's fine. It was the fact they waited until a negative or, you know, a play that painted him in a poor light came up, and then they showed that little stat pack. It'd be like, imagine if Kareem Hunt fumbled and they flashed up like he was cut by the Chiefs because of domestic violence, you know, 7-8 years ago. You'd be like, wait, why were you waiting for him to fumble to tell this story? It's okay to tell the story of what happened and why Rashee Rice missed 6 games, and he deserved to miss 6 games. And I'm not at all condoning what he did off the field, but to wait for him to make a mistake to then flash that up is what was annoying. Like, he had what we thought was a touchdown on that wildcat run in the goal line.
They didn't just show it then.
They waited for a negative play. They were like,
You know what? Rice might have scored the first touchdown of the game, which sounds like the perfect time to tell you of last year. Like, what are we doing here? Like, are we going to now do this with every player? When's the expiration date on this? Like, if you're somebody that has the stance of this is part of his story, I mean, it's over, right? I mean, it's not like this came up in the middle of a Chiefs game when he was suspended. Why is Rashee Rice not here? Well, he's out because of a suspension. These things happen. When is the expiration date on this thing? Are we expecting to see this on Sunday against the Bills? Like, let's say Rice has a great catch on the sideline. Well, hey, Jim, you know what? Speaking of that, what are we doing here with Rashee Rice? I understand that these things have to come up. It's not an ongoing situation that's dealing with Rashee Rice. It's over. Suspension, it's all behind him. Let's move forward. Let's move on. What are we doing here? I just didn't like how it was brought up yesterday on ESPN. I was just not a big fan of it. What happened to it? Not a big fan.
So the text line points out, we do that on this show with Deshaun Watson.
That's fine. You know what?
We aren't ESPN either. And what Deshaun Watson did, I would argue, is way worse. But we're not ESPN's scope.
I'm perfectly fine doing that with Deshaun Watson. If you want to say that I'm hypocritical and my feelings of Deshaun Watson being a pervert, okay, that's fair. If I got a double standard when it comes to that, that's fine. I think Deshaun Watson is sick. Sick. And I think it should come up every single time we talk about Deshaun Watson that he's nasty. I think it should come up every single time. That's what I feel with Deshaun Watson. That's what I think. I also don't think that Deshaun Watson has gone through nearly enough of trying to make amends for his situation the way that Rashee Rice has. I don't think he's nearly done the work that Rashee Rice has had. So yeah, you're right. I do bring it up with Mr. Nasty Man. You're right. I'll do that all the time with him and Justin Tucker. Two nasties. I forgot all about Deshaun Watson. I forgot he was still in the league. He's kind of out of sight, out of mind. What's he up to right now? He's hurt still, right?
I mean, he's watching the games. See where Shador is.
Okay.
He's out here watching Dylan Gabriel just sling it around.
You remember when everybody was fake sad when he got hurt last year? Remember that?
Who is everyone? I can't.
You remember that? People were real fake sad when he got hurt. Oh, you can't be happy. Remember that? People were really getting on their high horse about that when Deshaun Watson got hurt last year. I remember that. I was here.
You're right. People dig on that. They're like, how can Cleveland cheer? That's right. Okay, that's fair. Yes, I remember that. He got hurt. Cleveland fans cheered. And then they were like, how? It was, who was the, offensive lineman that did that for the Chiefs, Eric Winston-esque. How dare they cheer Deshaun Watson being down in Cleveland?
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, you can't be happy when a guy's hurt. I was. I don't know what to tell you. I was thrilled about it. Honestly, I was thrilled whenever he was hurt. Couple other things. Do you think the officiating was good yesterday?
No.
I don't think the officiating was bad yesterday. I just thought that the officials just kind of reached this. Hey, all of these plays are kind of close, so why don't we just review them? They did kind of have a couple of them. They had the Terry McLaurin touchdown, the one touchdown that the Commanders had. They had a great catch on the sideline. Like, that was a really good catch. That's a really good play. You got their best receiver up against your best corner, and Terry McLaurin makes a diving catch that it looked very, very close. I don't think they made a good call on the Zach Ertz play. Like, I thought that Zach Ertz got a first down. I thought they spotted the ball incorrectly. And then we got the chain gang with the little PlayStation cutscene that just is so fake anticlimactic. I'm not a big fan of this new way of doing it. I don't think it's any different than the chains. I just think that one team got mad because they always have to find. It's never Buffalo not being good enough when they lose. It's always the rules. It's always the game cheating. Wait, we didn't get enough of a chance. Wait, no. I mean, now with this same new way that they spot the ball, the literal same thing that got them beat last year could happen again. If the refs spot the ball in a certain place, the chip in the ball is not going to tell you where the ball should be placed. That's the conclusion that I came with. We spent a lot of time being excited about the ball, and finally we got rid of the chain gang. No, we didn't. We have the exact same situation before. We just have computers now to tell us the answer than before. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think that it works. I don't think that is the best course of action of figuring these things out. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. So tomorrow, I would say, is going to be a little bit more of a general NFL day. We're kind of at that midway point. Thursday and Friday, we're really going to dive deep into the game against the Buffalo Bills. We're already kind of lining things up for the end of the week. So just wanted to kind of give you guys, I guess, a heads up of kind of what we have planned and what the schedule is between now and the end of the week. So, Rob, let's close things out talking about Travis Kelce, who yesterday had his 83rd touchdown as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And why a lot of the attention was on Travis Kelce, and I completely understand why that ended up being the case, it honestly made me kind of nostalgic in remembering how good Priest Holmes was. And it reminded me that the Priest Holmes run, so, I mean, he scored 83 touchdowns in a Chiefs uniform. I mean, he really only played 5 seasons with the Chiefs. I know he played a 6th season in Kansas City. He only played in 4 games, only made 2 starts, got less than 50 carries. I mean, that he was hurt. Like, that's not Priest Holmes. That's a shell of what Priest Holmes was. But it made me really go back and look at 2001 to 2005, and just it was such a dominant stretch from a running back. I mean, in 2001, Priest Holmes led the NFL in rush yards with 1,555, and he had 10 total touchdowns that year. In 2002, he had 1,600 yards, 21 rushing touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns. In 2003, how do you top that? He had 1,400 yards, 27 rushing touchdowns that season. Just an absolute beast. Even in 2004, I mean, he is in line to have a fourth monster season. One of the what-if scenarios are, what do you do with Priest Holmes? If Priest Holmes plays in 10 seasons, 5 of those seasons he has 1,000 yards rushing, if you go back to his year in Buffalo, and he puts together 3 of the best seasons that you've ever seen at running back. Like, if you want to have a what-if conversation about a guy in his career, you could have one about Priest Holmes and the level of production that he put up. Rob, in 2004, Priest Holmes played in 8 games and had 14 touchdowns. He had 900 yards rushing in 8 games with 14 touchdowns. Like, that's a phenomenal season in only 8 games. I know we talk a lot about the offensive line, and I feel like we've just put a yeah but by everything that Priest Holmes accomplished in Kansas City. But, man, this is a stretch there from 2001 to 2004, the level of production that we're talking about he put up.
I truly believe this because I would imagine the average fan doesn't remember him as being that level of great, because those numbers are just insanity. And I think he is maybe not the most, but one of the most underappreciated Chiefs of the last 25 years. Because I think fair or unfair, I think he gets dinged as, oh, well, he's just a product of the offensive line. If the offensive line stung, Priest Holmes wouldn't have been a thing. And I hate when we do that. Like, yeah, if we change the variables, of course the outcome's going to be different. But what he did behind, admittedly, a great offensive line is literally sensational. Like, his down years would have been some of the best years we've seen in Kansas City from a running back. Like, just an astonishing run. And to do it in such a short burst, like, I think he is one of the, if not the most underappreciated Chiefs last 25 years. And because he has no rings, he's not going to be viewed in the same light as, like, a Daniel Sorensen, as an under-the-radar type of Chief. But he needs way more appreciation than I think he gets from the fan base.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I guess with Priest, I don't necessarily understand it. Like, someone just sent in, Priest Holmes didn't even get past the first stage of Hall of Fame voting. Some of this to me feels like time. Some of this to me kind of feels like the team that he played on. Like, if we're talking about peak, I think you'd be kind of hard pressed to find players who had kind of a better peak than what Priest Holmes did in Kansas City. I mean, it was a little bit short-lived. I'm not here arguing that I think Priest Holmes should be in the Hall of Fame, but just, I mean, if you look at a guy's career, I just a 3-4 year stretch, that's just really, really impressive in what he was able to put together in just in a very, very short period of time. Rob, I want to get your thoughts on this before we get out of here. You think the World Series is over? You think the Dodgers are about to win this thing? Do you got them winning in five, or do you think the Blue Jays get another one?
I think the Blue Jays steal another one, but I think it's Dodgers in six, if I had to bet.
Okay. I've enjoyed what I've seen so far.
I'm not betting against Shohei. I think they go 3-1 tonight, and the Blue Jays steal one, but it's done.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm with you. I think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, and if there is a team, like, as we are getting close to the end of the CBA, if there is going to be a team that shows you that it's broken, it's the Dodgers. I mean, the way that they've structured the Shohei deal is just unfair. Like, it's the way they've structured the deal. They basically don't pay him any money while he's currently on the team, and they deferred a lot of that money to what he's done, but they've already made the money up based on marketing. And just, if there is a team to highlight, the have and the have-nots, it's going to be a team that we think is about to win back-to-back World Series and might win three straight World Series heading into a new collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun today. Enjoy the fall weather. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. We got Chiefs Kingdom coming up. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.